We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt. If you're online, I want everybody watching this online to just check in. Let us know you're there. Let us know what city you're in while you're watching it. Just say, I'm here. I'm glad to be here. You in this house? You can even pull out your phone, do the same thing. We just want to spread the word that we're here. We are open for God's business. Excellent. I want to say, Scott, I was just thinking a while ago, I hadn't seen you in like 8 weeks. You know how long it's been since we've not seen each other for more than days? Like 2006, dude. It's good to see you. I love you. I love you guys. We're still a community, even we can't be together. But my goodness, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm so glad to be around you, buddy. I'm glad to be with everyone here, everybody online. Before we go, one more moment, I want us to pray together. I want us to pray for our nation. Unless you've been asleep, our nation has been through it this last week. Don't you miss the good old days when we could talk about COVID-19? Those were so much better than what we've been talking about the last week. Got the George Floyd death in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Can we just pray together? I want us to pray together for hope, for peace, for forgiveness, that instead of violence, the Church of Jesus Christ would rise up and show love. Come on, all over this house, begin to pray. Father, everyone listening online, Father, Lord, we pray right now for hope. Lord, we pray for peace, God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that your church would arise and that your church, Lord, would bring healing and bring reconciliation, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that justice would be had for George Floyd, Lord, and that family, Lord, that you would lift up that family in their loss, God. Lord, we pray, Lord, for our community, Lord, that is hurt and angry and confused right now. Lord, we pray, Lord, that they would find the love of Jesus in the middle of this, Lord, that you would deliver them, God, out of this hatred, Lord, that you'd deliver them out of this fear, God, Lord, and that you'd bring change to our nation, bring change to our cities, and bring change, more importantly than anything, bring change to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Teach us to love our neighbor as ourself in the name of Jesus. I pray for it right now in Jesus' name. Clap your hands wherever you are. Come on, clap them that Jesus heard our prayer, that Jesus is meeting the need. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I tell you, I want to be really careful here because I don't believe the church should jump into the political scene. And a lot of things are used in an election year politically. So I don't want any part of that, but you listen to me. The Church of Jesus Christ should not be silent on the issue of hatred. We should not be silent on the issue of injustice. We should not be silent when people are hurting. So I want to encourage you, find a way to use your voice for peace, to use your voice for love, to use your voice for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, it's not about race, it's about grace. It's not about skin, it's about sin. And the answer to it all is found in Jesus Christ. Anybody believe that in this house today? I hope you believe that online. Why don't you go ahead and say amen? All right, today is Pentecost Sunday. Look at somebody and say, Happy Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is a historical day in the history of the church and in the history of the Jewish people. You may have heard of it before, but do we know what Pentecost is? What is Pentecost? Let me tell you real quick. I grew up in a Pentecostal church. And I was a long time before I even knew what the word Pentecost meant. And I was floored when they told me what it meant. I said, what does Pentecost mean anyway? And somebody said, it means 50. And I'm like, what? What? I was expecting it's Jewish for Jesus is really the best ever and he's awesome. And we should praise him like we're going crazy. That's right. I thought it meant, no, Pentecost means 50. Look at somebody say 50. What's that about? Well, here's what it's about. 50 days after the Passover in Egypt, God's law came down from a mountain to his people. That happened how many days after Passover? 50 days. And in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, 50 days after the crucifixion of Jesus, on Passover, God's Spirit came down to the people. The law came down, and the Spirit came down. This one blew me away. When the law came down, you know how many people died? 3,000 people died that day out of disobedience to God. Someone say 3,000. But in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit that gives life came down, how many people were added to the church and saved that day? 3,000. Man, what a coincidence, right? No, the Lord's trying to show us something. Lord's trying to show us something. I want to tell you, and I believe this with all my heart, and it doesn't take me long to get excited about this, what I'm about to tell you. Pentecost is not a denomination. You listen to me. It's an experience. And I want to tell you, I grew up with that teaching. Grew up being told Pentecost is not a denomination, but I'll be if the Pentecostals haven't made it a denomination. Let's just get real about it. It's not a denomination. It is an experience. It's the experience of God's Spirit. That's what Pentecost is all about. Pentecost is not just for a group of people who have formed their own denomination and called themselves Pentecostal. That's not it. No, God's Spirit is not bound by denominational barriers. Let me tell you, I hope I'm talking to somebody today that answers to Baptist. That's awesome. You be Baptist, but guess what? You can also be Pentecostal. You can be filled with God's Spirit. Lord, let it fill every Baptist church. You can be Church of Christ. Lord, let the Spirit of God rest right in the Church of Christ. Methodist, you can experience Pentecost. Seventh-day Adventist, you can experience Pentecost. Catholic, you can experience Pentecost. It is for everybody because it's not a denomination. It's a spirit. Let me remind you that the Spirit was not bound by prison bars. The Spirit of God moved right into a prison cell in Philippi, shook the place down. It moved right into Jerusalem in a jail cell where Peter was about to be killed. It shook it. It opened up the gates. Let me tell you, there is not a wall that you can build that will keep out the Spirit of God. It is everywhere. You can't build a church big enough that God's Spirit can't just show up right in it. I pray today that His Spirit would just show up right here in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Lord. I'll shut down my sermon right now if you want to have your way in Jesus' name. So let's talk about that Pentecost experience today. Quick recap. Jesus went to the cross. Amen? We know that. And then Jesus did what? He rose again. And then Jesus tells them to wait in what city? Wait in the city of Jerusalem. And then that's where they did. They did wait in Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit filled the room where they were sitting. And the Spirit filled the lives of those believers. And the Spirit filled the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The people on the street heard the sound of these believers experiencing God's Spirit. And some of them, well, all of them didn't understand it. Some of them were amazed, and some of them started hurling accusation. They said, these people are drunk, all right? Acts 2, verse 12 and 13, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine. Then Peter stands up. You remember Peter? Yes. You remember the Peter that denied Christ three times? Yes. You remember the Peter that when Jesus rose from the grave, he said, go tell the disciples and Peter. You know the Peter that although he had messed up, he was given keys to the kingdom. That although he had messed up, the Spirit of God had revealed to him not flesh and blood, but the spirit, that Jesus was the Messiah. That Peter, he stands up with the other 11 disciples and he begins to preach. Now you pay attention. Here's why you should pay attention. This is the first message ever preached in the Church of Jesus Christ. The very first. The very first. There's been millions. I don't know how many millions could have been preached since that day. Billions likely have been preached since this day. But this is the first ever message of the Church of Jesus Christ. This is the inauguration. This is the birth of it. This is being born again of water and spirit. And now the Spirit is speaking expressly through a man of God to people that need to hear it. This is the first time. It's a big deal. Can I tell you, it's a big deal every time it happens? Don't you ever take for granted just hearing the word of God. It's a big deal. But this right here, you sure better know what happened the first time. So let's look at it. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I have to say. Verse 15. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. So Peter preaches. What does he preach? He preaches to them the word of God. Let me tell you, anybody who says they're preaching that doesn't bring you the word of God, they're just spitting stuff at you. They're just saying stuff. But when you bring the word of God, you are preaching life. You are preaching undying truth that exists forever. It's eternal. And Peter, he preaches the word of God. He brings to them the words of God through a prophet named Joel. Peter doesn't just preach about Joel. You see, it's one thing to preach about an Old Testament patriarch. It's one thing to preach about an Old Testament prophet. It's one thing to preach about an Old Testament priest. He also preached about Jesus. Can I tell you, in a Christian church, if somebody gets up and preaches to you and doesn't tell you about Jesus, they're just spitting stuff. You listen, it's all about Jesus. It's been that way from the beginning, and it's still that way. What do you say we talk about Jesus today? What do you say that we invite him into this place and we crown him King of Kings, Lord of Lords? Hallelujah. My God. Acts 2, verse 22. Fellow Israelites, listen to this, Peter said. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Verse 23, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Somebody clap your hands for that right there. It was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. You just picture death to trying to hold on and just can't do it. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Verse 36, Peter says this, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Peter preached who? He preached Jesus. He preached that Jesus was crucified. He preached that Jesus was buried. He preached that Jesus rose from the dead. And he preached that Jesus is Lord and Messiah. Am I telling you the truth today? Am I telling you what's right? Yes, that's what Peter preached. And this was the first message ever preached in the church. This should still be the message of the church. Church, how can you move beyond Jesus? How dare we think that we could ever graduate past Jesus oh, you know, that was some good stuff, but you know, we've moved on to some weightier things. We're really, you know, that was some foolishness, but now we've moved on to some really spiritual, deep things like how to balance your checking account, you know, and something like that, and five steps to be happy, and how to experience your best life now, and all these things, right? Oh, you listen to me. Jesus Christ, you can't move past him. You can't move before him, and you can't move after him, because he is the first, and he is the last. He is the Alpha, and he is the Omega. He is the beginning. Somebody help me preach today. He is the end. We should always be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You can't move past him. Church, if you are not preaching Jesus, you haven't moved past Jesus. You've moved away from him. And you should repent and do the first works again. You should return to your first love, and that is Jesus Christ. My God. And if you didn't get that reference, you should read the first few chapters of Revelation, because that was letters. That I was quoting to you, letters written to the church that they needed to repent of dead works, return to their first love. Church, we got to do that. We got to make Jesus the center of everything we do. He needs to be the center of all our worship, the center of all our study, everything that we're talking about. Not that we would be lifted up, but that Jesus Christ would be lifted up. That's how it is from the beginning of the church. The people heard the message of Jesus, and they asked a question. They asked an essential question. Do you know what that question is? This question is as essential as the message. Yes. Now you listen, there's nothing more important than that message. But if that message goes forward and this question doesn't follow it, we aren't the church of Jesus. We aren't seeing all that we should be seeing. What is that question? So glad you asked. Our response to the gospel must be this: what shall we do? Can you say those four words? What shall we do? It is not enough just to hear the gospel. It's not enough just to attend a church service. It was not enough to have just been in the upper room or to have been on the street that day. And it is not enough to just listen to it online or be in the room today. It is not enough to just amen a sermon. It's not enough to feel a nice little goosebump and feel better about yourself. It is not enough to say that you belong to a church and pat yourself on the back and shake the preacher's hand out after you go out the door and feel like you're better and superior to all those people that didn't come to church today. No, it is not enough. It's never been enough. It wasn't enough on day one. It certainly isn't enough on May 31st, 2020. We need to do something. Look at somebody, say those words emphatically. We need to do something. We got to do something. Holy Spirit, cut us to the heart today so that we ask this question: what shall we do? Acts 2:37, we should read it. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" I'll tell you one thing I love about this. They didn't bring an argument. Have you ever talked to people, Christians, and shared your faith with them and it turned into a crazy argument? Oh, yeah. Oh, man. You should try answering our anonymous text line, right? Good Lord, don't you know I get in some weird conversations there? And they're argumentative. This was not happening here. Instead, they heard the gospel and they said, "I've got to do something. Can you tell me what it is that I can do? Brothers, what shall we do?" You're right. Jesus is the Messiah. You're right. We sinned against him. You're right. We rejected him. You're right. We haven't worshiped. He came to us and we rejected him. And everything you said is true. He did miracles right in front of us. He even rose from the dead. And to this moment, we have not received him. Brothers, what shall we do? Church, do we know the answer to the question? Oh, you listen. You better know the answer to this question. Are we really the church of Jesus if we don't know the answer to this question? Now, let me tell you, let me go a little further. Let's just be a little bold here. I'm not talking about, well, my church does this, and my church does it this way, and my pastor always says this, and he does this. No, I'm talking about, what does the Word of God say? I'm showing you a verse where someone says, what do we do? Wouldn't it be good if you had hidden in your heart the Word of God that knew the next words? And if you don't know those next words, are you really ready to walk out that door and bring Jesus to the world? Come on, somebody. So let's look at those words together. Here is the answer to the question. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What shall we do? Let's talk about it. Number one, repent. Repent. Confess your sin. Turn from your sin and turn towards the Lord and Messiah, Jesus Christ. So let me ask you right now, have you repented? Have you? If the answer is no, then that is the answer to what it is you need to do next. What shall we do, brothers and sisters? You should repent. Before today's over, we're going to repent together. We're going to ask Jesus to forgive us all of our sins. Don't you dare go anywhere, Mr. Live Streamer. We're going to do that together. Don't you dare go anywhere. What shall we do? Number one, repent. Repent. Number two, be baptized. Not just any old way. He tells you how to be baptized and why to be baptized. Don't you dare pass that over. He tells you to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sins. So let me ask you, have you been baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ? Has Jesus Christ come and washed away all of your sins through baptism? Has that happened? If it hasn't happened, then that's what you need to do next. We have a Bible study on baptism. It'll answer all your questions about baptism straight from the Word of God. We want to give you that baptism. We want to baptize you in that wonderful name, and so that you can know all your sins are removed forever. He told them to, number one, repent. Number two, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Number three, he tells them to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Have you received the free gift of God's Spirit? Let me tell you, it's a free gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to buy it. It's a free gift. Is that you today? Have you received that free gift? If your answer is no, if your answer is I don't know, maybe I did, then I'm telling you, what you need to do next is know that you know that you know. That's how they used to say it in the old church. You got to know that you know that you know that you've been born again of the Spirit. If you don't know, if you know that you have not received it, you need to receive it. It's what you need to do next. What shall we do? The answer is repent, be baptized, and receive the Spirit. Peter's message concluded with the understanding that we need to receive. Can you say that word with me? Receive. For the next few minutes, I am going to pour on some scripture. All scripture keeps tying together the Spirit and people like you and me receiving the Spirit. Acts 2:38 is not the only place in your Bible that tells you about receiving the Spirit of God. Let's hit them. John chapter 7, verse 38, 39. Jesus says, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Can I tell you something? Somebody ought to preach this sometime. When Jesus is glorified, you get ready. The Spirit will be received. Somebody, are you ready to glorify Jesus today and see that Spirit be received in this house today? Come on, somebody. John chapter 20, verse 22. Jesus breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Jesus says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. Everybody said, the promise of the Father. But stay until the city, until you have been clothed. One version says, until you have received the power from on high. The promise of the Father. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit that is sent. And you need to receive him. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, this is Jesus, after the resurrection, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In a few days, you're going to receive the baptism of the Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a few verses later, he says it this way: but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Somebody said, receive. He said, beginning in Jerusalem. Somebody said, Jerusalem. And then he says, Judea. Say that. That's a little area further out from Jerusalem. And then he says, Samaria. Somebody said, Samaria. And that's where we're going next. Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, a man named Philip is running for his life. One of his best friends, Stephen, was just killed by Pharisees at the Sanhedrin. Now he is running for his life. He happens to run through a city called Samaria. And while he is in Samaria, while he's running for his life, he decides, I should preach Jesus to these people. It's an amazing chapter in your Bible, Acts chapter 8. It will teach you a lot of things. Right there in this chapter, I'm going to hit some high points right here. Jesus is preached in Samaria. Number two, demons are cast out and all the people are healed. Your version of the Bible says all the people are healed. There is no one left sick. There is no one left demon possessed. Because Jesus is preached, all of them are healed. Can I tell you, we ought to have a little bit higher standards around our faith. We ought to be believing that Jesus is going to heal the next person that walks in the door. And that when we preach Jesus, he's going to heal them. Let's just decide we're going to believe that way. Then there is great joy in the city. It says, can you imagine the joy? Yeah, they were flipping out happy. And then people turn from their sins. That's repentance. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a few of them. All of them. There's even a Simon, the sorcerer is in that city. A bad dude named Simon, controlling all the people. Even he is baptized. Even he receives this repentance and this belief in Jesus Christ. What more could these people receive? What more could they receive? You think for a second, they've received the gospel of Jesus. They've received demonic deliverance. They've received miracles, signs, and wonders. They've got joy. They've had all their sins forgiven and their sins washed away in baptism. Chris Fluitt, what are you telling me that they could possibly receive? Had they received enough, or was there something else God had for them to receive? What do you think that answer is? Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Look at this with me. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received, had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them. And as they were praying for these people, it says that they received the Holy Spirit. You listen to me. This is Acts 8, and this is not me reading into it. This is me taking scripture at its face value. You can receive the gospel. You can receive repentance. You can receive water baptism. You can receive miracles, deliverance, and joy, and still have not received the Spirit of God. Let that hang for a moment. Is that what it says? You bet that's what it says. It's right there. Can I tell you, Christians, everyone listening to me, we get this way a little bit in Christendom. We're like, well, you don't know. I've been going to church for years. I don't need to receive anything. I've got all that I need. You watch that spirit. You watch that spirit. That's not a, it's the hungry and the thirsty that get filled in God's kingdom. Don't you come with this, oh, I'm not hungry for any more. Because that's those are the people that will not receive the infilling of His Spirit. I'm telling you right now, it's the hungry. It's the thirsty that He fills. The Church of Acts believed. You listen. People try to argue about this chapter, and it's just ridiculous. Marshall, it's crazy. I've heard theologians try to explain away this chapter. They can't. They end up having to tell people that there's a difference between the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, the receiving the Spirit, and a difference in the baptism of the Spirit. And that doesn't hold water anywhere in Scripture. No, if you receive the Spirit, that's the same thing as the baptism of the Spirit. I'm sorry, it's used synonymously in Scripture. I want to tell you, regardless of how you think about that, this is what is absolutely true and undeniable. The Church of Acts believed it was so important that Samaria received the Holy Spirit that they sent Peter and John. They were not going to stand by and say, you know, they're doing good. We'll just wait on them to get it. They didn't. They said, we got to get on this right now. Peter, John, hop on a camel. Get on down to Samaria. Yeah. Now remember, there's persecution. Remember, people are hiding. No, this is worth your life right now, fellas. You go down to Samaria because there's some people that have received some wonderful things in Jesus, but there is something yet they must receive. Yes, that's true. Do you believe it's important for our city to receive? Yes. Do you believe it's important for Dallas, Fort Worth, Metroplex to receive what we're talking about today? The state of Texas, the United States, the world, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Can I tell you, you listen to me. I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're listening to me going, I don't believe all that he's talking about. You listen to me. It's important that you receive this. And I'm willing to travel whatever distance to have that Bible study with you. You need to receive it. You need to receive it. In Acts chapter 10, the Gentiles, non-Jews, right? Heard the gospel message of Jesus. And while Peter is preaching, he hasn't even gotten to the end of his sermon yet. I don't know what point of his sermon was on. You know how sermon preachers like three-point sermons? I don't know where that came from, but it's like, point number one. Like, oh, I must write that down. It's point number one. And it's my only point today. Oh, it's only one point. No. He is preaching to them. And before he's even done, look what happens in Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, that's the Jews, who had come with Peter, were astonished. Let me tell you, these people had seen miracles. Let me tell you, these people had seen demons come out of people. These people had seen Jesus walk through walls. They had seen Jesus do miracles. They were, many of them, among the 120 that were there in Acts chapter 2 and experienced that whole situation. What they see here astonishes them. Now you think about that for a moment. Of all the things they were not expected to see, this happened. They were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. Are there any Gentiles in the room? Is anybody a big fan that the Holy Spirit has even been poured out on non-Jews? Even been poured out on Gentiles. Verse 46, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. That's how they knew. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Somebody say receive.
Receive.
Acts chapter 11. What happens in Acts chapter 11? Well, Peter goes back to Jerusalem and he explains to the rest of the Jews what had happened. And they're just as astonished as the folks that were there in the room. He tells the Jewish believers that the Gentiles had received the Spirit the exact same way that we had received it in the beginning. Verse 15, Acts 11. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of the church. Acts chapter 2, the beginning of people being born again of water and Spirit. They received it just like that beginning. Church, if you're part of the church today, do you realize what the beginning of the church looks like? It looks like Acts chapter 2. And we should still look that way. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Moving on to Acts chapter 19, verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 2 here. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, everybody know Paul, the Apostle Paul, took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples. These are disciples of John. These are not disciples of Jesus. And he asked these disciples, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now you pause for a second, because I think too much of Christianity is exactly where these men are. I think that the world is filled with Christian disciples that believe some level of the truth of God. Yes. They believe some level of the truth of Jesus. They have felt goosebumps. Yes. They probably have repented. They probably have been baptized. Yes. But Paul would look them in the eye and he would ask them what he asked these disciples. He would ask them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And I think far too many Christians would go, I really don't even know what that is. I really don't even know who that is. Every once in a while they talk about him, but they kind of move on really quick whenever people kind of get nervous whenever they talk about him. I mean, you listen to me, because there are actual versions of the Bible that even leave out the book of Acts.
That's right.
I was in one bookstore and they had a book called The Word on the Street, and it was just like in very simple vernacular. I really kind of dug the book. And so, you know, I'm just swinging through it and I'm like, wait a second. There is no book of Acts. I went to the beginning of that book and they explained, we don't translate all the versions of the Bible, all the books of the Bible. We only translate what we think people read. This is the beginning of the church. And because our denominations don't match up with what it looks like, we leave it out. You listen to me. That is not right. And the question still stands today. Have you received since you believed? Every believer ought to be a receiver. I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that's unfair to say. Every believer ought to be a receiver.
Amen.
Verse 3. So Paul asked them. Man, I could spend some time on this. I won't spend much time. Then Paul said, then what baptism did you receive? I'll just say, a lot of our churches would think that's a really stupid thing for Paul to ask, because a lot of our churches diss baptism and say that it's not important. It's just an outward sign of an inward work. That is, That is a phrase that it's used all over the place. I challenge you to find anywhere in Scripture where it says that. Peter says to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. It's not just an outward sign. It's not just a symbol. It's not just a ritual. It is the power of God that happens when you go down in that name of Jesus Christ. My goodness. Buried with him in baptism. Are you making light of the burial of Jesus Christ? Because when you're buried with him in baptism, you rise to newness of life. Don't you dare put it down. Don't you dare act like it is not important. It's the answer to what shall we do. And it is part of the Great Commission. Verse 3, looking on. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Can I tell you something? When you tell people that they need to repent, when they need to be baptized, maybe even need to be rebaptized, you will get arguments. But I want to show you that the people in Acts 19, they had no argument. They were ready to receive. The people in Acts 2 had no argument. They were hungry to receive. When we as Christians bring arguments, when we are given the word of God, it only reveals that we are not ready to receive. If you have an argumentative thing rising up in you, let's talk. I love you, and I will do my best to just bring you the word of God, honestly. But I want to tell you, just with the boldness of Paul, have you believed, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? In Acts chapter 2, the people asked, what shall we do? In Acts chapter 2, that's what they asked. And Peter told them to repent, to be baptized, and to receive the Holy Spirit. You got to receive. You got to receive. All right. There are some people who will say that God no longer gives that gift. It's a thing, y'all. Look it up. It's called cessationism. There are people that will say God no longer heals, that God no longer, you know, people don't speak in tongues anymore. That's something that went away when the last apostle died. It doesn't matter that Scripture doesn't say that. They will look you right in the face and say it from their pulpit. But in Acts chapter 2, Peter did not feel like this was ever going to go away. Acts 2:38, let's refresh ourselves. Peter replied, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, after you've memorized verse 38, you really need to memorize verse 39. Look at this. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Who is the promise for? What? You're supposed to receive this promise. Who? Who is it? It's for you. It's for you. Point to you. Point to you. It's for you. This promise is for you. It's also for your children. Your children should receive this promise. It's for all that are far off. You ever have that one friend you go, oh man, they're so far off. I don't know if they can ever come to God. You listen to me. This promise is for them to receive. You just be amazed when that person you think that could never come to God, you just watch. They will be in this altar receiving it right beside you. If you're not careful, they'll receive it before you. There are stories of that, absolutely. And then lastly, it says, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Is he still calling people? Has God stopped calling people? If God's still calling people, the promise is still for them to receive. It's never gone away, nor will it ever go away. So what shall we do today? We're coming to a close. I want you to get ready to pray. Wherever you are, right in your room, in your car, wherever you are, right here in this house, I want you to get ready to pray. Are you ready to receive today? What shall we do today? Well, let me ask you this. Have you believed the message of Jesus? that he loved you so much that he came to earth for you, that he died in your place on the cross, that he was buried in a tomb and he rose again, and that he loves you so much he wants to give you forgiveness of your sins and he wants to fill you with your spirit. Do you believe that today? If you believe that, then you're ready for the next thing. Have you repented? Have you repented today? That's for you today to receive. Have you been baptized today? That's for you today. You need to receive it. Have you received the gift of God's Holy Spirit? I want to remind you, what we're talking about today is not a denominational thing. It's the very Spirit of our God. And I'm done putting up walls against his Spirit. Lord, come on in. What shall we do today? Let's reach out to the Lord in this place. If you want special prayer, I want you to come into the first few feet of here. And I know the COVID thing is a thing. I'm going to pray very carefully for you if you need a miracle, if you want God to do something in your life. But all over this house, I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to begin to talk to the Lord. I want you to begin to seek him. Whatever is your next step today, I want you to take it in Jesus' name. Come on, listening online, watching online, podcasters, you people that are live streamers, I'm praying for you right now. Father, touch our hearts right now. Minister to us, God. Lord, I thank you and I want to receive you. I believe the gospel. I believe in you, Jesus. And I want you to fill me with your Spirit, God. I want you to fill me, God, in Jesus' name. If you need to repent, I want you to pray with me. We're going to make it very simple. Father, I'm a sinner. Why don't you just say that? Father, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. I have said the wrong things, I have thought the wrong things, and I have done the wrong things. Right now in your name, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I turn away from my sins and I'm turning to the Word of God. I want to live life like you want me to live right now in the name of Jesus. If you prayed that prayer from your heart, God's already forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven. You need to now reach out to him. Ask him to fill you with his Spirit. Come on, thank him for all of his goodness. They're going to be singing. Why don't you spend some time worshiping him? Why don't you spend some time thanking him in this house? God, in Jesus' name, we love you, Lord.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.